Hey everyone, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, Tokyo, Japan, the secret part of Tokyo.
It's not that secretive.
I wanted...
Considering we tell everybody about it.
Okay, so this secret of ours is between you and me, the audience, the listener,
yes?
The viewer.
Mm-hmm.
But today, we had a bit of a rude awakening.
I know what you're talking about now.
Something that really scared me in a way.
Yeah.
When we came home today, our grandma neighbor, who we love. I love her like she's family. She's a grandmother I almost wanted.
Yeah.
She's a very...
She's the grandmother you almost wanted?
Always wanted. Did I say
oh,
almost?
Oh, you said almost wanted.
Always wanted.
Okay.
I've always wanted a grandmother like her. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we saw her today, like, we usually see her outside of the house, and then she's like, oh...
And we were telling, like, a temper... You always talk about the weather in Japan, so I was like, oh, mushy.
And then...
You know, like, oh, it's humid.
She wound up saying, hey, I spoke with somebody... who knows who you are.
And the two of us were like, because up until now, we've managed to just avoid talking about our jobs.
We just tell them like, hey, we like to travel around. We just look like rich white people with eccentric habits. Like we don't look like we actually have a job because everyone's like, how are you home all the time? It, like from outside perspective, it doesn't look like
no,
we
it's
have
more
a job.
Like, how are you home all the time? And then suddenly not home for like giant chunks of time.
Exactly.
Like, why are you up at this time? And why are you asleep at this time? Like, what is your schedule about?
So now she knows. She's like, oh, the person that I spoke with knows who you are. And he says, you're very famous YouTubers.
And she looked us straight in our hearts and souls when we said that. And we were like...
And it just... I felt so gutted. And I'm like, my secret. You know. Now you know. Please don't tell anyone else.
No, and we asked her and we said, you know, oh, was it like a foreigner you were talking to? And she said, no, he's a Japanese man. And then we
were
like...
Whoever you are that told my sweet grandma my secret identity, how dare you out me to my neighbors?
And,
how dare you?
She goes to us, he knew a lot about you.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, like what?
Oh.
Like tucking our hair behind our ears. And she's like, oh, he knows that you lived in Korea and you were there for 8 years.
Right.
And you make video about a lot of food. And we were like, all right.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that we kind of just wanted our neighbors to think of us as... just normal people.
Just
normal, strange people.
We're strange in the way that we like travel around a lot and whatnot, but don't look any more into that. Just leave our secret identities alone.
I mean, you don't really know about what your neighbors personally do.
Sure.
Like, you don't really sit, I mean, unless you're one of those people who like opens up the curtains and they're like, 5 a.m., this person came home. But
right.
Like, I mean, most of the time, you just see your neighbors in the streets. You're like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
And like, you just kind of, you know, you assume that they are teachers or they work for like
a company.
No, but
I feel like we know a lot more about our neighbors than they know about us. Like, I know that like our other neighbors have like daughters in school that just graduated from university.
But it's also pretty easy to tell when we run into them on the street and they're having a jovial moment they want to share with us.
Sure.
Like when one of our neighbors' daughters was graduating from high school, they were all outside taking photos and she's like, oh, graduating high school today. We're like, yay.
Uh-huh.
Like, so it's easy to take part in that when there's an event, but we're not like, hey guys, we're flying to Korea for this event.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just bring that up.
No, we don't tell people. So the reason why this scares me is because I remember when we were in Korea, when people didn't like some of our videos, they tried to call immigration on us and get us deported.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want my video life impacting my personal life now. And we do our best to try to contribute to the community here, like with the restaurants around here. Like, we had that wonderful experience at Light Up Coffee recently. And like, I want to be part of this community. And to think that there are some viewers that kind of know who we are, where we are, and like talking to our neighbors about it, it worries me just a very small bit. I know it's not gonna be the same because we're not talking about K-pop when you don't have like very angry fans.
People aren't
that
like,
are very defensive.
Sushi, we're gonna deport you.
I don't think anybody gets that upset about a cheese sandwich the way they get upset about their opas.
Yeah.
But this is just like having her know had made me flutter a little bit in panic. Just
I saw
for
your
a wee
face.
Bit. I was really nervous. Even now I'm kind of like, hey, just please. I'm so nervous. I love it here. This is my favorite neighborhood I've ever lived in. I love our community. Mm. I love the people that we speak with. I love how when I'm in the backyard and I'm like trying to get hype before I squat and I'm listening to X Go and Give It To You and I'm like punching my paws like, and then I turn around and I see my neighbors coming in like, oh, and I got to take out my headphones. Like, I'm not really that gangster. Hello. Oh, I have some omiyage for you. She's like, I love that last omiyage you brought me.
Oh, from Thailand we brought her
from
some.
From Thailand.
Yeah.
And she just loved them. She
good.
I saw her yesterday and she was like, they're so crispy. She and I just feel like I want to maintain that relationship, and I'm so worried about anything getting in the way of jeopardizing that.
Well, I do think that you're being a bit extreme.
Maybe.
I don't think you have to worry about it, because it's not like it's going to spread around the neighborhood and then everyone's going to stare at us in a weird way. Okay. It's not like we film at
people
our...
people already stare at us in weird
ways. Yeah, people, I mean, I've got pink weird. Hair. You've got tattoos with ducks. Uh-huh. Like, we already... we already stand out as is. Like, it's not like that's a problem. I think our concern is more so...
Or be like, oh, you mean those foreigners with pink hair and tattoos.
You mixed them up.
Oh, you must have had us confused with the other foreigners. No, there's other ones.
We look alike. Yes, I understand. Know. No, I think if anything, for our neighbor, it made more sense to her. Because when I said to her, you know, that's why we're traveling so much, she went, Wakata. Because I think she was wondering, Wakata means like, I understand. Yeah. I think she was always like, why are they always going to like Kyoto or really weird places? Like Ehime is not like a tourist destination. We're all
it ain't the most bumping part of Japan.
It's fantastic. It's my orange love. But it's not like you say to somebody, I'm going to go to Japan and I'm going to go to Ehime and I'm going to go to Utsu and I'm going to go to, like, people have like specific destinations that tourism would say that they go to.
Exactly.
We don't personally agree with that. We think you should explore these places.
And we're trying to promote these other places.
But I think when we say to our neighbor, oh, we brought you back these oranges from Ehime, she's like, why are you in Ehime? Like,
now it kind of makes sense to her.
Yeah.
When it comes to like the Japanese like news covering foreign YouTubers in Japan, there's one mega asshole that made the news here, and he's a foreigner and he's a white guy, and I don't want to be kind of conflated or associated. Like, I don't want a neighbor to think, hey, are we doing the same kind of ridiculous shit that idiots do when they come to Japan?
Yeah.
I'll be like, I don't know how to convey to her, no, I'm not like this person.
I'm a special kind of idiot.
I'm a different breed of idiot, just not that.
And then it cuts
rude.
To like our Mario Gold Card video where we were, you know, and then it cuts to Bakurai, and then it cuts, and then we're like,
so that made me a little scared, and that's the story I'm going to tell for you today. That's it. I'm going to go around and hide.
No, you're
table
not
now.
Stop it. We're going to tell everyone about okonomiyaki and
okonomiyaki
coffee jelly. Okay, so
yesterday we went on an adventure yesterday.
Yes. We both had not eaten like high carby meals all day, so we were like, nighttime, it's time to have our delicious meal.
Right.
I have to burp. Well, we said we wouldn't edit it, but this is the second.
But we already edited.
Sorry, sometimes I have to burp, so I had to cut it. Anyhow,
I'm gonna keep that in the video. Everyone's gonna see your gross burp.
The other one's going out.
Gross.
Anyhow, we
didn't see
to
Martina
go...
fart 10 seconds ago. God damn, shook the house. That edit that you just saw, that was her shitting her pants. That's gonna be cut also, isn't it?
It's not gonna be cut, but we all know the truth of who would possibly fart on camera that would cause the house to rock.
Spurgy.
Well, I'm a sweeper. Don't bring me into this. Okonomiyaki. Actually, I could drop the F-bomb now that it's not on a radio show.
No, but it's still going on YouTube.
Family and friends. Yes. Okay, so okonomiyaki. We filmed an original video a long time ago about like how to cook okonomiyaki.
Right.
And that was in Shibuya. And that place closed down for a while for construction.
I'm not sure if it's back up yet or not.
I think it's back up because your parents were down last May and we were going to take them for okonomiyaki there.
So it should be up by now.
It had like a big thing. The whole block was being like reconstructed.
Well, my parents came last May. It's been like well over a year. It feels like they were here recently.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
So.
Yes, this has been a fast flying year.
Yes, it has.
So anyhow, we went for okonomiyaki in Kijijoji, and it was a shop that I found by accident. So like, as you know, I have my Google map addictions where I zoom into my maps. I'm like, Hans. And I like look at all the places around it, and then I check to see the reviews, and then I start to my list. And by fluke, I happened to find this place, and you and I couldn't find it.
Right.
We were walking around going, where the heck is this place? And we couldn't find this months ago. Like, we now know it as like a staple for us.
Yeah.
Turns out it was an old school Japanese house.
Right.
In the midst of Kichijoji. So you've got Yodobashi, this like huge electronic store
it's
that's
like
everywhere.
You think of it like a Best Buy, you could say.
It's like a Best Buy or like kind of like Walmart-sized electronic
store. Except it's like 7 stories tall.
Yeah. And they have them all over Japan. So this is like being next to an IKEA. So you've got this gigantic... like corporate building, and then beside it there is one remaining
house.
Tiny Japanese house. And there's other shops that are all built up, you know, but this was one tiny little house. So Simon and I went into it one day. We were feeling very hesitant and concerned, like, what is this? And we slid it open. We're like, are we going into someone's house? But we saw
hello, do you have food?
Feed me, please.
I'm hungry.
Oh, it's those YouTubers.
Oh, damn.
The ones that ripped into K-pop.
Oh,
kick them
no,
out.
Deport them.
All of our nightmares come together. Anyhow, so we went inside and we realized it was a restaurant. And we walked down this hallway, and you have to imagine to the left of you, there are little tiny half curtains. And people's feet are just sticking out. Little tiny socks and shoes and bare feet. And all the shoes are stacked up on the wall. And you turn the corner and there's pictures up on the wall that look like it's somebody's house. And they have like a rain frog where you pull out the stick and you go like up its back.
Has nothing to do with any theme for the rest of the restaurant whatsoever.
No. And then you turn up this narrow, narrow staircase. And it's the only place we've ever sat is upstairs. And you go up this gigantic staircase and I'm like, what have I done? But it's worth it because the top floor is a completely open concept Japanese house.
So they've got it. Tatami is all on the ground.
All tatami.
It's only floor seating there.
They've gotten rid of the like sliding.
No dividing walls or anything. Right. It's just one giant open floor.
Oh, Mr. Spudster is up.
Are you going to take a shit right
here? Where are you going, buddy?
He's
down.
I fell.
He's not sure where he's going to go.
I want to take a shit.
Well, we'll see what happens to him.
All right.
Make it, buddy.
If he does take a shit, that will stay on camera.
It will. We promise you You won't see it because he goes over there.
So it's totally open concept upstairs.
Totally open concept. And all the tables are super low to the ground, like sitting tables. And they all have hot griddles on them. And then we were like, holy cow, this is an okonomiyaki restaurant.
Right.
So at the time, this was last year and it was the winter time. I remember we didn't read Japanese well enough. Like we could read it, but it was still a struggle. And the whole menu was in Japanese. And the two of us were like, bam, 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 bam. We just didn't know what to do,
Food.
Food. We like pointed at things, you know. But now when I opened it up and I looked at the menu, it was so crystal clear. Like we're nowhere near being fluent in Japanese.
No,
like
not at all.
No, but we've been working really hard on like our reading and food skills. And it was such a satisfying feeling to be like, I know exactly what this is. And so I ordered the mixed sea okonomiyaki. That one comes with a squid, shrimp, pork, and ginger.
And you ordered a bucket of cheese on the side.
I didn't mean to.
A full bucket. It wasn't a bucket. It was like a plate.
It was too much.
But it was just way too much cheese for that one thing.
If the container of okonomiyaki came in like a cup like around the size of your palm, the cheese was equal, which doesn't make sense that you should have an equal amount of cheese to batter.
Way too much cheese.
Yeah. Plus, we went there to be healthy because okonomiyaki is made with mostly tororo, like a ground
and
yam and cabbage. There's like an egg, but everything else in it is not like a heavy flour base.
The second one that we wound up getting is a stamina don. I don't know why they're called stamina, but it's mostly with just like fried pork and like eggs. Stamina, but we had that one.
Stamina has become like a normal phrase in Japan. Like we'll go for gyudon bowls and they'll be like stamina don. And we're like, what is this?
They have stamina don. They have stamina udon. We just had at our udon shop. The thing that I really liked about this okonomiyaki place was we've never been there in like the dead heat of the summer. So you go upstairs and all the windows are completely open. Like there's no screens there. It's like wide open outside. We sat to the wall closest to the yodobashi so we could overlook the people walking on the street beside us.
And there's all these vines that are that have grown on the side of the building that are curling into the open window on the second floor.
And I sat in the perfect spot because I had my back to two fans. I think they had maybe like 12 fans all peppered around there because there's no ventilation going on here whatsoever. And just all these fans blowing my beautiful European BO at every person.
Actually,
there.
We were lucky because you just took a shower. You just finished working out.
I did just
so
take a shower.
You were super fresh and excited.
But girl, as soon as I step outside for half an hour, you know the sweats are coming back.
You sweat, but you don't smell anymore.
I know.
Our diet has changed a lot.
Yes.
Like I think that we, when we were in Korea, our smell went from being North American to more Korean.
Yeah.
And so it got better because Korean people also don't wear like deodorant. It was actually harder to find deodorant in Korea than it
true.
Was Japan.
Yeah.
But I think we did start to develop a kimchi garlicky one, kind of like how our European cousins have like a sausage, like a smell. And if you're like really hardcore Indian and you eat a lot of curried food, you might have more of like a curry smell. There's like very specific. Is this supposed to be racist or something?
I don't know because like I don't know if this is sensitive or not because I know that like different people that I know, like whatever culture you grow up with, they like different cultures have different
smells.
This isn't a bad thing. I hope it's not a bad thing.
No, we're
to
European.
Say.
We're the ones that smell like BO.
Yeah.
Like all the other cultures smell like a food. It's like, oh no, curry.
Would you rather smell like food or body odor?
Yeah,
I'd rather smell like food.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. I don't know anymore.
Well, anyhow,
with the sensitivities
don't mean it in that way.
Of people.
But here's the thing. Uh-huh. We have to stop being afraid to talk about things that have affected us personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I've noticed with us is that like for a while they're on line. We were talking about things from a perspective of like, well, this is what happened to us in Korea. You know, like when we did TLDR from the get-go and people would be like, you're lying. And we're like, that's weird because I'm not. Like, I mean, I remember we had arguments on our TLDRs about prostitution where we were talking about the cards delivered and there was a Korean guy that like stalked our videos and was like, you're lying. There's no prostitution in Korea. There's no cards on the ground. You're just making this up. And I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want prostitution cards. Like, right. I didn't want to.
Why would we?
Why would
make
I
that
want
up?
These? Yeah. Right. And so, like, the same thing when we talked about having no bathtub in our houses. Like, mm-hmm. if you come to Korea as a foreigner, mm-hmm. you will experience it as a foreigner.
Yeah.
You will experience it differently.
And foreigners have a very different experience than Korean people.
Yeah. If
do.
You're born in Korea, you're probably born in an apartment. Apartments have bathtubs and yeah. balconies.
Right.
So, like, a Korean person can never understand what it is to be a foreigner in Korea. The same sure. way how if a Korean person goes overseas to New York right. or Florida, wherever,
yeah.
they will always have an experience that's true to them. You can't say to somebody, you didn't experience racism as a Korean person in America. Yeah. No one's racist. And they're like, dude, uh-huh. like we've heard our friends Jen and stuff tell us, oh, like yeah. they're like, we got totally made fun of. Yeah. Imagine saying to them, no, you
that
didn't.
Exist. Yeah, I know.
So like we're European. We have European family members. We know what they smell like.
Sure.
My grandmother, my dad, yeah, like yeah. I know the smell that comes with it.
Right.
We lived in Korea for 8 freaking years. We
there
know,
is a smell in Korea as well.
Yeah. It's not like you walk into Korea and you go, oh God, kimchi.
All right. Okay, yeah. fine.
So don't.
We just had a long enough disclaimer now that yes. I think that we've calmed down anybody's potential rage.
It's not a disclaimer. I'm just uh-huh. saying that I want everybody who has an experience to mm-hmm. be able to share it. I don't want them to say, this is the only truth experience. And mm-hmm. that's something that we've never done. We've never said, this is the facts about Korea, or these are the facts about European people, and no one could tell me otherwise. We're just like, hey, this is what we feel. And then mm-hmm. people get mad as if we're authority. Like, yeah. we've never said anything about authority. Even when we review a K-pop video, we'd mm-hmm. be like, this song sucks. And people are like, you're the worst. Set them on fire. I'm like, dude, you can like it.
Mm-hmm. I know that you're very like gung-ho. Just like, say what you feel. Like,
I still feel it. It's yeah. not like I don't feel it, because I definitely, you know, I've had stages in the YouTube career where I was mm-hmm. like, I don't think I can take this anymore.
Sure.
And I managed to push past that because of our amazing community. Like uh-huh. if it wasn't for the people supporting us, it would have been like, we're done. I mean, I can't really anymore think about the seriousness of somebody being mad that I ripped into a music video directed by a director that had nothing to do with the K-pop. Like, to me, mm-hmm. I'll still never be able to make these like connections uh-huh. between the idea that the person who's in the K-pop band has literally zero to do with this music video.
Uh-huh.
It's like making fun of a Justin Bieber video.
They just act in it, but they're not the ones that scripted it.
I know.
It's not their idea. It's not their mission. It's not their vision that they're trying to convey.
I mean, 100%. They don't even know that. They just show up and they act in
it. It's a director that's just like, hey, I need you to look sexy. Do the sexy thing.
And the directors we met. And those directors watched our videos and said they were hilarious. So if the director's not mad and the K-pop stars we meet in person and they say, yeah, we're not mad, it's funny.
Yeah.
Then why are the fans mad?
Hey, let's talk about something that won't get people mad.
Poor coffee. Scared Simon.
Coffee jelly is really nice. I like coffee jelly.
Okay, let's wrap up Okonomiyaki all in right. a positive manner.
Okay.
Oh, look at your little wopsies rubbing together. He's so tartled.
Yeah.
It's the same when I make him speak Polish on the radio.
Every week, how can Martina make me feel
one
uncomfortable?
One more thing. Tell me that I'm pretty in Polish.
How do you say pretty? Ty jesteś piękna. That's such a beautiful word, isn't it?
Is that the word for pretty?
Piękna, I think, means like beautiful. Yeah. Piękna. Urocha. I think cute. You're cute.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ducky.
You're welcome, love.
There you go.
Thanks.
So our okonomiyaki was amazing.
Uh-huh.
We grilled it and as the breeze blew in and I went, summer breeze makes me feel fine. I was like, this is a great memory.
Mm-hmm.
No one can take that sitting upstairs patio feeling and that feeling of the wind blowing over us, the warm breeze, the heat coming off of the grill, mm-hmm. but like the kind of cool circulation.
Right.
We were saying how it also reminds us of those amazing memories from Bucheon
mm-hmm.
when we were outside grilling at a barbecue on the side of the road.
Right.
And you'd have like a warm breeze blowing the flames up.
This was like the closest experience that we had to like kind of like eating outdoors in Japan.
We missed the eating outside thing. That was a really fun. It's the same way how when we go back to North America, we miss backyard barbecues and patios. Like people are like, I'm having a backyard barbecue. We're like, really? For real? Like in the movies? Mm. Like we haven't never gone to a friend's outdoor barbecue because we left Canada when we were all broke.
Uh-huh.
Like all of us were in university. Who would have a house and be able to have a backyard barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
Now our friends are coming on like their second babies and they could literally invite us to their outdoor barbecue.
Yep.
So we're kind of trapped in
a way. No,
we
did that last time we were in Canada. No, 2 times ago when we were in Canada, we visited our friends in Milton. We had a backyard barbecue.
We did.
Place.
Our friends from Korea.
There you go. Our Korean friends.
As if we can't have just a normal Canadian experience.
Korean food.
I know.
There
we
also.
Ate Korean food and we talked about Korean food the whole time.
Yeah.
So like it was not a normal, like I want to go to a barbecue where it's like, hey, I'm Martina. I'm Simon's wife. And you're like, oh, I'm
Why do you sound like somebody from the Mad Men era?
This is how I talk. As soon as I come when I come to Canada, I immediately switch into like an awkward white person voice and I don't realize it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You always have an awkward white person voice. You're super awkward white people. Both of us.
Spudgy buddy, where you going?
Spudgy, can take a shit on the ground yet? Okay.
Last story. Coffee jelly. Give your background information as to why you like coffee jelly first.
I really wanted to try coffee jelly because we're watching a show on Netflix called The Disastrous Life of Psyche K.
Yeah.
And it's this hilarious anime about a guy that's a ridiculously overpowered psychic that just wants to have a normal life. And one of the things that he really enjoys is coffee jelly. And he just goes to great extent to enjoy coffee jelly.
Without these friends around. He just wants to enjoy it on his own.
And his friends keep on getting in the way. I never tried coffee jelly.
Not just that. You and I went, what the heck is coffee jelly?
Right.
Like, again, when we start our videos, sometimes we'll say things like, you've heard about sushi, you've heard about this, but have you heard of curry in Japan? Right. I didn't know Japan had curry. I didn't know Japan had coffee jelly.
What is coffee jelly? We finally found it. What we weren't exactly looking for. We just like walked around Kichijoji and we found this like really old looking like sign for a shop. It just looked totally run down.
Looked like a New York diner. Like.
And we saw all the pictures of the food outside and we read one of them and it said Kohi Jelly.
And the two of us were like,
this is our chance to go. So we walk downstairs, these really old crack stairs.
You know what the stairs reminded me of? Like, linoleum from like an old high school.
I was about to say linoleum. Yeah, like it was yellowed linoleum.
With fake marbling where it looks like it's supposed to be.
We went into this like cafe deep downstairs.
As I said to you, and I quote, this looks like the kind of place you wouldn't go at like 9 p.m. on a Sunday because there's a gang member dealing out drugs. Like this was like not safe looking.
It didn't look what we're used to here in Kichijoji. Definitely the closest equivalent I could think of is like a New York diner.
Our 80s like, dance hallway.
Everything in there was just like faded pastel, kind of like a muted Arizona palette without the blues. Everything, there was like these like tan leather seats with like dirty green backings on it.
Almost mint, but not quite. It's like a faded mint.
They had these picture frames on the wall, and the pictures inside of them were a lot smaller than the frame itself, but there was all glass, so the reflection from the light covered it, so you couldn't actually see what any of the pictures were. In between, like, us and the other side.
In
the booth. There were these, like, little, like, frosted glass dividers to make it look like we're separate. There was a
So you don't look at somebody. Oh my gosh.
There's a smoking and non-smoking section here. As if it matters.
Divided by a sign.
Like, is the sign protecting me from the smoke?
Halt! In Japan, our sign technology is above yours, North America.
But it just looks super dingy and run down, and I loved it.
And here's the thing that I want to say for all y'all Star Trek nerds out there. When we stepped through these doors, it was a sliding glass door that led us into this 1980s, 90s diner. I thought, this is like entering the holodeck. When there's those scenes where they go to like Paris 1940s or like New York 1920s. Jean-Luc Picard has all these weird programs where he's like a detective and stuff. And when you walk through the holodeck, you step out of like modern technology into the past. And this is exactly how that felt. But the weird part was when I looked around with the customers, it was like a very mixed bag crowd. There was like a three party of women behind us that were definitely drunk. They were like hilariously drunk, like, and they were older. They were like in their 50s. And then to the left of me, there was one single guy, good looking guy in his mid 20s that was working on something with headphones on. I'm like, you know, hanging out at the local 1990s diner. And then two people came in halfway through the night and you said to me, they look like two New York artists that just walked in. And they had like little glasses with like cool hats.
They had a little guitar case with them.
And I'm like, this is, why is anyone coming here?
So we ordered coffee jelly for myself. And you ordered like a super traditional like red bean.
Clear jelly, agar jelly, kind of thing. And like a wafer.
And the coffee jelly came out. It was like maybe like 2 to 3 inches of coffee jelly.
A parfait cup.
In this parfait cup. And then like 4 inches of soft serve ice cream on top of it. I didn't want all that ice cream. I just wanted to try the coffee jelly.
I was like, oh no.
And I tried it. It's just like the taste was so surprising. It was like, it just tasted like black coffee made into jello. And it was delicious.
I loved it. And you know how I feel. Like when I explain to people in the ice cream challenge video that I don't like coffee flavored things. It's not that the latte ice cream, like the gelato that I had, didn't taste good. I thought it tasted good. It's just that it's the equivalent of me of having like an icy cap from Tim Hortons. When you go to Tim Hortons and you have like an iced cappuccino, it tastes good, but it doesn't taste like coffee. It tastes like sugar coffee flavor.
Yeah, like a frappuccino doesn't taste like coffee.
Yeah, or like chocolate. Like
it's just sugar, cream, yeah, and a little bit of flavoring.
It's delicious. Yeah. It's just it's not coffee.
But this was literally like coffee. Just coffee gelatinized.
Except you can't just do that because I know how hard it is to make like gelatinized coffee because it would separate. Like there, so it's
I don't
amazing.
Know how they did it.
Right, it was just amazing because it was like this beautiful parfait cup with this beautiful layers of like firm jelly. Like Japan likes its firmer jelly instead of just having like a kind of feeling. It was more like a like you have to kind of rip
it. Did have a good bite to it.
Yeah,
and the soft serve ice cream on top of it was stellar.
Stupid
there
good.
Were no ice crystals in it. It was super ridiculously smooth. And as I was eating this, I thought to myself, I was a little bit upset because this is way too good for a diner this run down. Because like whenever we go back to Canada, we sometimes have hankerings for dirty old diners.
You know, the dirty like old spoon where you go there and the waiter's like, what do you want? And like, they like wipe their hand on
exactly.
You know.
Like you want your like tater tots completely burnt. You want your Chain ketchup expired. Diner, you
know,
you want, you know, the cake to be crusted over on the side from dryness. Like you're expecting kind of a low qualityness to it. And that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
Here, that's what I was expecting. I wanted something low quality, but everything here was so damn good. It kind of took me out of this whole dirty diner vibe.
Not just that. You keep saying the word dirty diner, but I do not think you know what that word means. This was not dirty.
No, it wasn't dirty. It was as dirty as we could find in Japan. It was the closest
equivalent. No. Well, we can find dirt. If we want dirty, we just go to Shinjuku and we go to like Shibuya at like 4 a.m. on the weekend and we'll find like gross, vomity, like, you know, New York style. That'll be there. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a normal average neighborhood has none of that.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't have any of that.
Right.
It's like way too clean. So this dirty diner was basically like, it looked like one that was made for a movie set.
Yeah.
And then later on they scuffed it up so that people could make it look dirty. And we had just stepped in between like roles. Like that's how it felt clean wise. Like when you see Archie Comics and they have these beautiful red back diner chairs and they're in a city in the middle of nowhere, you're like, that's got rips on it. Mm-hmm. There's parts of like the foam puffing out and like a spring up your butt.
Uh-huh.
But this, but everyone's has these perfect dirty diners. It was like a movie set.
Point is, I had my first coffee jelly.
And it was great.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to try to find some more coffee jellies from now on. And I think that's going to be my new thing in Japan.
Let us know if you guys want us to make you like a video about this, because I don't know how much
I can
say.
I'm not sure how well you're going to really sell. Like,
coffee jelly.
Coffee jelly. Do you like coffee jelly?
Like, give us some suggestions if you guys think of like an idea of what we can do with the coffee jelly videos.
And I also, like, speaking of suggestions, thank you to, I forget what user was that
suggested
this.
I'm so sorry we didn't get your name.
But you actually, like, you see our microphones actually sound a lot better now because we're pointing them the right way. Last time we pointed it at our mouths and now it's wrong.
Somebody was like, this is the type of microphone you have and you should be talking to it sideways. And the two of us were like,
as you can see, we're still trying to learn about this whole podcasting thing. And thank you for watching us grow.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We will see you next week with some more stories to tell.
Yes. Oh, that coffee jelly.
That was really good.
That delicious, thick mouthfeel ice cream.
I think it's time for dinner now, girl. It is time for dinner.
I'm hungry.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys. See you next week.